Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. I want to begin a message this morning that will roll over into our evening service. And who's to say, depending on how long-winded I am, it may actually roll over into the Wednesday service. But that'll be okay. We never get it all said anyway, do we? But I want to read one verse this morning in John chapter 16. And my thought today, as far as my title for my message, is simply this: the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. John chapter 16 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient." The word expedient means necessary. "It's expedient for you that I go away." And notice, Jesus is saying that it's necessary for you. He was addressing the people. He was addressing his disciples. And he's saying that his going away would be necessary for them. And yes, we can apply that to say it was necessary for him to go away even for our benefit. And we'll explain that a little later. It says, "It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." The Comforter is none other than the Holy Spirit. So he's referencing there the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as he ministers, as he works, one of the great ways that he ministers is in an area of comfort. So it's certainly appropriate that he is called the Comforter, because he certainly is a comforter. And I keep reading. "He'll come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Let's bow this morning for just a brief moment of prayer. Our Father, this morning, as we bow our heads in your presence, we do so humbled by this opportunity, because we know that this is an important time and this is an important service. And any time the scriptures are opened, it makes it important automatically. I pray today that all spiritual needs will be met, that no one will listen or will be in this service, will leave this service with unfinished spiritual business. I pray today, Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, the one who is the divine comforter, will use this message to not only provide comfort, but also to provide conviction in the hearts of those that need Christ as their Savior. Bless us now together, and we'll thank you and praise you. And dear Lord, the request that Brother Bruce has shared with us earlier, the names upon that prayer list and all of those we've been praying for, my Father, I pray that you would minister to all of their needs. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God's people are in a foreign land, so to speak. We are strangers and pilgrims passing through this foreign land of this earthly sojourn that we're involved in. And it's a wonderful thing to know, as we open our Bibles, that in our travels through, our journey through this foreign land, there is a friend that we can know. And most of you today would give testimony to knowing him. This friend that I'm talking about is, first of all, I would mention our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, there is a friend that we have in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is a friend who is a comforter. He is not only a comforter, but he is a communicator. He gives us comfort. He boosts our hearts. He encourages the people of God. He lifts up our spirits. He gives us comfort, but also he communicates. He takes the truth of Scripture. He applies it to our hearts. He communicates to us. Years ago, and I've told this story before, and when you get my age, most stories that you tell, you've told before. But I'll share this again. Years ago, Carol and I went to Germany, and Doris, you'll appreciate this. We went to Germany, and we took the time to board a train to visit Austria. Now, Carol had learned a little German before we went to Germany. She had learned a little German. She learned, I guess you could say, just enough to make it dangerous. But she did pretty good, though. And she was asking this man direction in German. We were, you know, seeking to find this particular site, and so she thought she would experiment with a German that she had learned, Doris. She asked the question in German. And the guy looked at her. He said, "I'm sorry, ma'am," but he said, "I'm from America. I can't speak German." I'd say we had a communication problem with you. Now, later on, I don't know why things just happened to us, but later on, we went into a department store in Munich. And I'm standing, and I do this quite often, I'm standing here like this, leaned up against the corner. I'm looking like some kind of important person, you know. Standing like that. And this German lady walked up to me, and she was going to ask me questions. She must have thought I either worked there, I was a store manager, whatever. And when I responded to her in English, then the look on her face was about the same as the look on my wife's face when the fellow American answered her. You know, sometimes it's hard to communicate. But if anything else, let me say this. If I ever go back to Germany again, Doris, I'm taking you with us. But here's what I want to say today. We're in a foreign country. And that foreign country is our earthly sojourn upon this earth. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're passing through. And we can be thankful, and I'm talking about the people of God, we can be thankful that we have within us one who relates to our needs and comforts us in our distresses. I don't know of a more relevant word, a more appropriate word, and a more endearing word than the word comfort. Every single one of you, all of us, I meant to say, appreciates all the comfort we can get. We need every dreg of comfort. We're living in a time that's filled with fear, that's filled with problems, and we need to be comforted. This passage of Scripture addresses that subject. These words, when we read this here, where it talks about the Comforter will come, these words are more than cheering words. These comfort goes a little bit deeper than being cheered. To be comforted, that goes a little bit deeper. People sometimes will say to one another, cheer up, without giving reasons, solid reasons to be cheered. But I would again suggest today that comfort goes deeper even than being cheered. Jesus here prepares his disciples for what lay ahead, including coming days of trouble, but yet he gave the mention of the resource for the trouble. These are days of trouble, but we have resources for the trouble in the person of the Holy Spirit. The promise of his coming. If you will, please, follow me as I read a few of these passages of Scripture, which I believe will make my message more clearer and more understandable. Now notice with me, with your Bibles open, and let's just read a little bit. All right, look at verse number 2, please, in chapter 16. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that, I'm looking at verse 16, the time cometh that that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. They could expect troubles. Jesus is making it clear. Yet, here's what, and you'll notice, he said, they will put you. That's a collective word. In other words, they would have troubles. But they did not have to be blindsided. They could be comforted a little bit in the sense that all of them would be in the same boat. Because he says, you, meaning all of you. And I'm saying today there's a little bit of comfort in the fact that all of us in this world as God's people are in the same boat. We all have our issues. We all have our problems. It's not just like any single one of us are bearing it all. Every one of us today has something going on that we appreciate God giving us comfort to get us through it. Yet, they would be in the same boat. Now, union sometimes accounts for a lot. Now, look at verse 5, please. But now, I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? And because I've said these things, unto you sorrow hath filled your hearts. Your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you that it's expedient for you that I go away. For going not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. You'll notice down verse number 6, Jesus said, I'll paraphrase it, because I'm telling you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. You're sorrowful. You see, his disciples at that time couldn't process it all. They couldn't understand it. They basically were thinking, our Lord is leaving us. And all they could think about was the immediate. All they could think about was their earthly thing. But he had to leave them. It was necessary. He had to go in order for the comforter to come. But his going was a direction that would lead him through the cross. And you talking about being important, that was, wasn't it? Then I want you to look at verses 23 and 24. Look what he says there. He says, in that day, verse 23, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Jesus there is assuring his disciples that he's going away, the Holy Spirit's coming, and they will be able to still stay in the communication anyway. In other words, the communication's not going to be cut off. You can pray, you can talk to the Father. Heaven's lines will be open. There'll never be a busy signal. And you can still communicate. And I'll tell you something, my friend, isn't it amazing that we're living in a days where communication has been so enhanced and increased. It is amazing. I mentioned a chaplain friend earlier. Him and I had a Zoom session. He's sitting over in Germany, thousands of miles away. We had a Zoom session, and I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. There's no delay even in the signal. And it's amazing with technology. So you know that's amazing, isn't it? You can talk to someone, you can look them in the face 3,000 miles away, but I've got even better news than that. When a person gets saved, they can communicate immediately and directly with the third heaven and the person of Christ. Look at verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy might be full. He tells them that he's not outside of ear reach. And that's comforting. He then tells them that his leaving did not mean the end of his loving. Verse number 7. For the Father himself loveth you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came from him, that I came from him. Verse 27. I came from God. Of course, it was him. He came from God. So he lets them know, as he is about to leave them, they still can communicate. He's letting them know as he's about to leave them that they're not outside of earshot and they're not outside of the loving heart of God. God's going to still keep loving them. The Father's love and the Holy Spirit's presence should cheer them up for sure. That's what he's reminding them of. And let me kind of put it like this today, kind of in a simple statement. You know, to be saved, to be loved, and to be accompanied is actually enough to, in the language of modern day motivators, to pump us up. I'm saying to be saved, to be loved, and to be accompanied, to be encouraged, to be ensured, to be indwelled is enough to pump us up. That ought to motivate us. I mean, Jesus has gone away, but yet he hasn't gone away. He has left bodily, but he's still here present in us, in and through the Holy Spirit, because the two are one in the sense that there's identity on the part of the divine Trinity. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, we're told. And then the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you've got a mind enough to fully understand that, help yourself and let me know what you're thinking sometime. It's kind of one of those things where all you can do is accept it by faith and move on rejoicing. I'm here to say today that God's in a Christian. I'm here to say today that Christ is in a Christian. I'm here to say today that the Holy Spirit is in a Christian. Put all that together and tell me if that won't drive away the blues. And some people still want to hang on to their blues in spite of that, don't they? On the top of that, to be empowered and promise the guidance of the Holy Spirit is wonderful. So you know what this message is all about? It's about being comforted because we have the Comforter. It's about being encouraged and cheering up because of what we have in the person of the Holy Spirit. Then on the top of that, and I'm not quite through reading yet, on the top of that, to find comfort in the desire to have the assurance of a genuine salvation due to the joy of exalting Christ. Look at verse number 14, and I'm going to pull out something here. You know what this is this morning? This is what we call a preaching teaching service. Anytime I start, my voice gets louder, you know, of going into preaching, right? That's how most people interpret it. I learned years ago that every sermon ought to be every time we stand up, we ought to be preaching, we ought to be teaching. We never separate the two. Look, please, at verse number 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Now, I'm going to bring out something that a lot of times we don't think about. We're preaching today on the subject, the Comforter has come. What does the Comforter do? The Comforter gives comfort. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about it like this? The Comforter glorifies Jesus Christ, according to that verse. He magnifies Christ. Okay, you ready for this? If more of us would get more caught up in focusing on Christ, magnifying Him, glorifying Him, we would automatically be comforted. We're comforted because the Holy Spirit magnifies Christ when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit. And we're exalting and magnifying Christ. The byproduct of that is we're comforted. We're comforted by exalting the Lord because we're complying with the Holy Spirit. And that brings us back to a basic point. That's why we have church anyway. We come to church to glorify Christ. And if we come to church to glorify Christ, get our eyes off of people, get our eyes off of things, get our eyes off of how we might hurt, get our eyes off of this, that, or the other thing, and just focus on glorifying Christ, we'd go out of this building more often comforted people. You talking about a downer. Keep your eyes on this world, this problem very long, and you're going down in a hurry. But thank God we can sing, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. We can have joy in the midst of the storms. Jesus, at the time of this account, he knew he had but a short days before he would be crucified. Jesus, because of what his crucifixion would mean, his finished work would mean, every step of his earthly life was accompanied by power. Miracles took place. He raised Lazarus. He did all of those things on the basis because of the fact he would die on that cross and pay our sin debt, and he already had the power due to what he would accomplish to do in his earthly ministry. I've said it before, but he could have stood at the tomb of Lazarus and shouted and I'm not saying this sacrilegious at all, he could have shouted till he turned blue in the face, Lazarus come forth, but if Jesus himself would not die and be resurrected himself, he would not be the resurrection and the life. He could not have raised the dead. Jesus could say, peace be still, and the winds and the waves would have to take a vacation. Jesus would say, come forth to a dead man named Lazarus. He came forth, and then instead of having a funeral service, they'd have a family reunion shortly thereafter. We have clouds of witnessing proving the point that peace is still a reality regardless of the extremities of life. I'm bothered by the fact that so many Christians almost think the times, the COVID, and all of the issues of life are dictating to them that we're to take on a different composure and live with a sullen look on our faces and live like we've lost our best friend all the time. No, I want to say today, the power and the grace of God is just as sufficient today as it was before COVID even hit. It's time the people of God come alive. Amen. And realize what we have in Jesus Christ, and the COVID hasn't taken it away. Amen. We have peace because the saved can know that he is not simply near us on the premise, but he's in us. I'd rather have Jesus in me than near me. We who are comforted need to comfort and not to discourage others. And by the way, there's a Bible verse that says that. We're to comfort wherewith we've been comforted. We're to pass it on. And here's another little statement of that's therapeutic. You know, if you and I would spend more time comforting others with the comfort God has comforted us, we'd find ourselves comforted in the process too. When you give out, it comes back. As you share, you're blessed. As you give, you're given. So that's what the Christian life is. It's a giving out thing. It's comforting. It's being a blessing. Some people, they absolutely have blinders on their eyes and can't see what all God is doing and would do through them if they would only let him. Reminds me of a deer hunter or a duck hunter that bought a new dog. He took the dog out for the first time. When he shot the duck, the dog walked across on the top of the water and retrieved the duck. How many of y'all believe what I'm saying is true? Okay, so you know it's an illustration. Next time, the next day, so the story goes, he took his hunting buddy, who was always negative and complaining. He shot a duck, and the dog did the same thing. It ran over on the top of the water and retrieved the duck. He looked at his friend. He said, "Did you notice anything strange about that dog?" And the negative friend said, "I sure did. He can't swim worth a lick." You know, we need to consider today what God's done, is doing, and will do. He took care of our sin debt. He arose. He ascended back to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit, who's a comforter, to help us. And that ought to cheer us up. These men that he's talking to here, these disciples, are understandably upset at the notion that Jesus is going to be taken away from their midst. And then Jesus goes into the detail about the significance of the coming of the Comforter. There's going to be the comfort, and here's my major point. There will be the comfort of His presence. The comfort of the Holy Spirit's presence. Now verse number 7 again. Verse number 7, the text for today. "Nevertheless, I tell you, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." So what we have here, there would be a swapping of places. The swapping of places. He would go away, and the Comforter would come. I was thinking about my message this morning and sit down and wrote this. In fact, I've already put it on Facebook, and I use Facebook for ministry. I actually use it for two things. I use it for ministry, and then I use it for foolishness. For you who've read it. Because I like to make people laugh if I can, too. I think that's important. But I wrote this morning, and I called this, the article as well, is called "The Comforter Has Come." Now, let me give to you this morning, I think, the logic behind verse number 7. Why is it so important for the Comforter to come? Well, the coming of the Comforter, according to this verse, was more important than Jesus remaining on this earth in His physical body. Jesus makes that clear. The coming of the Comforter was more important than Jesus remaining on this earth. His very disciples, as we've read, had a problem with Him leaving them and did not want to think of Him dying. But here's the thing. His atoning and redemptive work had to be completed, involving Him physically leaving His disciples, but His leaving would mean the coming of the Holy Spirit to work in and through the people of God. His leaving and the Holy Spirit's coming would mean their understanding of His purpose in coming, and the presence of the Holy Spirit would be more valuable to them than Jesus staying. The physical presence of Jesus on this earth before His death, and I want you to think about this. I'll repeat what I said. The physical presence of Jesus on this earth before He died and went back to heaven was that of being in one place at one time. One place at one time. But His leaving and the appearance of the Holy Spirit meant His redemptive work being universally proclaimed and His presence realized everywhere. That's why it was important. The Father planned redemption. The Son purchased redemption. And the Holy Spirit came to promote redemption by convicting sinners through the medium of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit could not fulfill His part in the application of the plan of salvation unless Jesus complete His work at Calvary, be resurrected, return back to heaven and fill his position at the Father's right hand. The preaching of the gospel, enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit, was a priority of God. For the salvation of lost sinners was a reason that God drew salvation's plan. The coming of the Comforter would mean that the gospel would go forth for Jesus totally paid our sin debt by his finished work. Here's what I'm saying. The coming of the Comforter will be on the other side of Calvary. So the coming of the Comforter would verify that Christ has paid our sin debt. It would verify it. This dark and sinful world is blessed by the light and comfort of the presence of the Comforter. That's what I'm saying. The heart of sinners can be comforted with salvation in Christ. The heart of God's people is comforted by the sweet assurance of the Comforter's presence. The Comforter's comfort is meted out through the meditation and appropriation of the Word of God. I'm going to say to all of us today, we're going to be lacking on comfort if we violate two things. We're not going to be appropriately comforted if we have a foreign relationship with the Bible. Secondly, we're going to be missing out on comfort if we're selfish with what God has given us and not passing that comfort on to others. And I've got Bible verses to prove both things that I just said. Here it is. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now catch this. That we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Comfort of scriptures. How are you with your relationship to the Bible? That's a fair question. We get comfort through scriptures because he says the comfort of scriptures. I'm not going to stand here today and say that the key to success is reading through your Bible in a year. I'm not saying that. I personally use the approach not necessarily going through the Bible a year. I just like to take it slowly, meditate as I read through it, study it as I go, and learn it. But the comfort of scriptures. Secondly, the Comforter also uses God's people as comfort bearers to those in need of comfort. Now here we go. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Next point, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Don't you love the Bible? I love it because I just read it. I can smile when I'm reading it. It hits hard. It makes a squirm in the pew. But my friend, I close my Bible at the end of the service and go out of this service with a clear conscience, knowing it's my job to give it, but it's our job to receive it. And so, you will know why some people today aren't being comforted too much or not in the Bible enough. And another reason why some people aren't being comforted enough is because they're too selfish. They're not taking the time. You could maybe call people. You could visit people. But people need comfort. We need to spend less time pining over our problems and licking our wounds and get out here and start applying the balm of Gilead to those around us that are in far worse shape than we are. Amen. I think an appropriate invitation this morning might be this. Dear Lord, you've comforted me and helped me to leave this service today comforting others with the comfort you've given me. Amen. And if you're unsaved today, you need the comfort of salvation. So come to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I come to you in prayer today. I thank you for the wonderful Savior. Thank you for the Comforter who has come. And Lord, today in this service, I believe that perhaps it would be good to have a gathering at this old altar of people coming and committing themselves to the Lord and saying, the Spirit of God put His finger upon a need in my life. I stay depressed and discouraged and always groaning and moaning. But now I've heard from the Bible, not necessarily from Preacher Chuck Peters, but I've heard it read from Scripture. My comfort can come from the Scriptures. My comfort can come by giving out comfort. So Lord, today, speak to the hearts of people. Save the lost. If there's anyone here or out there that's not a Christian, may they right now bow their heads, humble their hearts, call out to God and ask Him to save them before it's too late. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you this morning in this service, maybe the Holy Spirit has helped you to see there's a bigger dimension of your Christian life than just you and yourself and your problems and your home. The dimension of your Christian life extends to everyone around you. It extends to your church family. It extends to your friends. It extends to that neighbor across the street even. And you'd say this morning, Preacher, God spoke to my heart from the Scriptures today. Would you pray with me that I'll be willing to obey Him, commit myself to allowing Him to help and use me in this area of comfort. He's spoken to my heart. Will you pray for me? Can I see your hands today in this building? God has spoken to your heart. You say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart today. Would you just pray for me? We are going to have an invitation shortly. Do you need to come and pray and talk to the Lord Jesus? You do so. Father, bless now the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.